In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, welcome to worship at Providence Presbyterian Church. We're glad that you're here with us this morning. We welcome particularly those who may be visiting with us for the first time. We hope that you will make your presence known to us and that everyone will sign the friendship pads that you'll find on the inside pew and pass it down the pew so that you may greet one another by name following the worship service. Please join us for a time of coffee hour fellowship in the Hope Room immediately behind the sanctuary following worship today. I'm pleased to welcome Reverend Dick Dannenfelser to preach today with us. As many of you know, that last Sunday was Pastor Medhat's last Sunday with us, so we are blessed to have a variety of preachers in this time as we await the arrival of the new temporary transitional pastor. And Dick has been a longtime associate of this congregation for many, many years, but also serves formally as our committee on ministry liaison in this time, and we're grateful for your leadership and presence in that capacity as well. I'd like to call your attention to the calendar announcements as you find them in the bulletin. You can also keep up with what's happening here as we are posting things on our webpage, the Facebook page, and through the Providence Publicist. But on the Sunday morning bulletin, we try to be at least into the current week of what's going on and have several announcements that we want to draw your attention to. The first is on Friday, our youth from grade 6 through 12 are invited and encouraged to be part of our serving in mission in this city. The community dinner at Matthewson Church is where we will be serving that meal. We're not cooking it, we're hosting it and serving it. So, and we are in need of a couple more adults to help with the transport on that. The details are in the bulletin. Please be in touch with me if you can help with that. And if you're planning to go, please let me know, particularly those youth. This is also our Camp Street week, so the Camp Street sign-up is posted on the bulletin board for Saturday morning, and we need volunteers for that as well. And the sign-up list is also there for Thanksgiving box preparations, which is coming up at the end of the month. And Murray has an announcement about another event for Saturday here.
Good morning. I'm sorry there's not an announcement in the bulletin about a gathering of RYUP, Rhode Island Organizing Project, here at Providence Presbyterian Church on Saturday morning, this coming Saturday morning, the 16th, from 10 to 12 noon. And this will be a gathering of all the groups and congregations that are part of RYUP to share the conversations or house meetings that they have had regarding issues of concern. This will be an opportunity to share what we had as a conversation in this congregation 2 or 3 weeks ago now. I've just got back from a trip and I don't even know really where I am right now. My time thing is off. These conversations will be shared, and it's a great opportunity not only to hear what other congregations are concerned about as we are in reaching out in mission to the community, but also to know some of the people in the other congregations who are sharing in this kind of effort that the Rhode Island Organizing Project does and that we are very much a part of. So Saturday, the 16th, 10 to 12, RYUP's good for starting on time and letting people out even a little early, so we can guarantee those time frames. And you would help host that by welcoming people by being present too. So I hope some of you will feel you can come. Thanks.
Gina.
Morning. I just want to let everyone know that during the Advent season, we are going to be having our TNTs every Tuesday in Advent, except for the Tuesday before Christmas, so which is Christmas Eve. So we'll be in church every Tuesday in December. regardless. For those of you who don't know, TNT is our Tuesday Nights Together, held from 6 o'clock to 8 p.m. And the first hour, we gather together in fellowship and share a meal together. It's potluck style. We will be having sign-up sheets available starting next week with a theme for each night. It's usually like soup and bread, casserole night, that kind of thing. So people come and contribute food and share in a meal together. And then the second hour will be a time of study and reflection. And this year we are hoping to try something different with a very different type of offering. So stay tuned for news on what that will be. So just keep it in the back of your mind. In this time of hectic schedules and busyness, it might be nice to take a break on Tuesday nights, gather together and focus on what's important. And there will be childcare also available, so for those with small children, there's childcare, and hoping to make this new offering somewhat family-friendly as well. So, thanks.
Thanks, Gina. Any other announcements this morning?
Thank you. I have two quick announcements on behalf of the worship committee, please. First is we continue to hope to get volunteers to help us with the PowerPoint presentation and projection during worship service. Jonick Foster has done an outstanding job of helping us out and really doing a lot of that work for us. And so we would love, if anyone has talents in the area of PowerPoint, to help us out. We're going to be posting a sign-up sheet so that people can sign up and know in advance if there's a day that you might be able to help us out with that. There is a template for that that Jonick is helping us with. Secondly, we're going to be looking forward to an arts installation for Advent again this year. You probably remember last year we had a beautiful display out in the foyer. Nice thing as being welcomed into the sanctuary. Keith Cooper is going to be helping us out by spearheading that committee for this season. If you have any interest in providing ideas or any creative talents that you need an outlet for to help with that, then please see Keith. Thank you very much.
January 10th, youth, is our trip to the Providence Bruins hockey, and we are now opening this to your friends and family as well as other members of the church. Tickets are $17. Starting next week, there'll be a sign-up sheet in the Hope Room, and starting in 2 weeks, I'll be collecting money for it. And the deadline for us to get our ticket order in is December 13th, so we need to start planning right away.
The psalmist writes, "One thing I ask of the Lord, that will I seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Come, let us worship God as we sing together our opening hymn with the worship band, 10,000 Reasons."
Good morning. Join me in standing as we sing.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship his holy name, sing like never before, O my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new song again, whatever may thousand reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I'll worship Your holy name.
In prayer, out of weakness, out of strength, for we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Trusting in God's promised forgiveness, we pray this morning, first in silence, then lifting our voices together in prayer. Let us pray. Together we pray. O God, we will not try to hide from You the wrong we have done or the good we have neglected. You know our sin. You have observed our pretensions. We have claimed too lightly the label Christian, for often we cut ourselves off from You and from people we disdain. At times our rebellion leaves us hungry, alone and friendless. O God, we are not worthy to be called Your children. Grant us, we pray, Your forgiveness and pardon, and a renewed sense of who You intend us to be and to become. Amen. Let us continue in a spirit of confession as we sing our song of confession, verse 2 of Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise, number 263 in the large hymnal. shall separate us from the love of God? Will hardship or distress or persecution or family or nakedness or peril or sword? No, we are convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Friends, believe this good news of forgiveness. God is love for us today. Amen. This is the time in our worship that we share joys and concerns. As a community of faith, we pray for one another. We reach out to one another. A word to let you know just a bit about the transitional pastor search is fast underway, and a number of our folks today are off hearing the first candidate for that search. So if you would please keep the personnel committee in your prayers as they continue to look and discern at the wealth of candidates that have come forward for this in-between time as we ready for the search for the permanent pastor.
We are excited to let you know that the long journey of adoption is coming to an end. We are heading to Kenya on Tuesday, and we are really, really grateful for your prayers, for your support, and would like to request you to pray with us for a quick court date and a successful court date. We do not have one yet. So pray for that, and also for our safety while we are there. Also, kindly pray for us that we will be able to come back with Ashley when we get back. Thank you so much for your continued prayers. We are very grateful.
Today is my dad's birthday.
Happy birthday.
We've been on vacation for the last 2 weeks in Africa, and I want you to know that it is so good to be home. It was wonderful to be on vacation, but when, you know, there were so many things there that reminded me of this place. I never forgot you the whole time we were there, and it was just, it was marvelous, but it's so good to be home.
I have the same announcement as Leah. Today is my dad's birthday. He's turning 75. And I just ask that you'd pray for my parents. My mom's health is just not really improving. She's holding she's not in the hospital, but she's at home and really not able to do anything other than take her medication and rest. So my sister, who lives in Baltimore, has been there every week, at least a day or two, helping with food prep and housekeeping and things like that. And I just ask that you would give her guidance, pray for her, that she would have guidance and how involved to get into their relationship dynamics and just end of life kind of planning for them. So thank you.
I'd like for us to remember the people of the Philippines, all those who have lost loved ones, housing, clothing, nearly everything.
I want to thank you for praying for my sister Tiffany, who I mentioned a couple months ago has leukemia, and she's still in the process of receiving treatments. It seems to be a never-ending thing for her. But about 2 more months of intense treatments, and she should be a little more in the clear. So thanks for your continued prayers. It's been really hard on her, hard for my parents who are taking care of her. But thanks so much for your concern and cares.
I thank God for taking care of our family. Tomorrow is Priscilla's birthday.
Birthday's all over the place.
We had wonderful news last week on Ariel's 27th birthday that she's now cancer-free.
Yay!
And let's not forget our veterans.
Let us pray. Living God, we lift our prayers to you, ever creating a new thing, redeeming the pain and struggle of times past, ever present, ever hearing the concerns of our hearts, of the community and the world. Guide our steps as we pray for our world and for ourselves in this day, particularly this day for the people of the Philippines, in shock and in recovery, in loss. We pray for life and justice in the Middle East, for all places of war and famine, refugees near and far. And as we remember veterans on this weekend, we pray, O Lord, that there might be a day that war will be no more. We seek your healing and sustaining power for those who are ill in body, mind, or spirit, and for the families who care for them in these days. We pray for those who are facing new treatment, for Ryan's dad, for Joe's mother, for Tiffany. We continue to lift our prayers, O God, to those who grieve, and particularly that you might guide the steps of Trey in these days as he moves forward out of this loss of Carrie, and for Lirand and all the family as they walk through these days. We yearn, O Lord, to follow where you alone are leading us. Make us disciples in your way with spirit and energy, imagination and love, grace and truth. We thank you, O God, for the blessings of leaders of this church in this time, giving of their time and talents, helping us to build a community of strength and witness as we move into this new chapter. We pray, O Lord, for our personnel committee discerning co-pastor possibilities, for our presbytery as they are noted in our bulletin this day. And ever, O God, we give thanks for the joys of life, for you remind us weekly that you answer prayers, that you have given life and birthdays for Dave, for Joe's dad, for Priscilla tomorrow. We give thanks for those reminders and celebrate their presence in our midst and in our connections. We pray, O God, for the Kego Machiri family as they travel finally this week to Kenya. May the court date be granted swiftly to finalize Ashley's adoption to bring her here. We give thanks for the ways in which prayers have been answered in this long journey. We give thanks for opportunities for people to travel near and far and for the yearning for home. We thank you for the Lockhart's safe return here this day. We thank you, O God, that you have made Ariel cancer-free with news of that on her birthday this week. Lord, you are a God who touches our inmost needs, the prayers of our hearts, spoken and unspoken. You move in our midst, you walk with us, you lead us forth in new horizons. Quiet our hearts and minds that we might rest in you and live for you always, in the way of our Lord who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Children are excused to go down to their classes for this morning and the middle school upstairs. There's a piece for me to read first. In preparation for hearing the scripture this morning, we are going to share a piece this morning called Share the Good News. You may follow along on the projection or listen simply for this story. According to an ancient story, there were four men walking through a woods when suddenly they came across a high wall. Intrigued, they built a ladder to see what was on the other side. When the first man climbed to the top, he cried in delight. The same thing happened with both the second and the third men. When the fourth man reached the top, he smiled at what he saw. Lush, green gardens with fruit trees of every kind, streams teeming with fish and animals, wild and tame in abundance. Like the others, he was tempted to jump down. But he then thought of his family, friends and neighbors, and went back to share with them the good news he had discovered.
Our Old Testament lesson this morning comes from the sixth chapter of Micah. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? In what have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt, and redeemed you from the house of slavery, and I sent you before Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised, what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gaal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? The New Testament lesson comes from the 15th chapter of Luke. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough to spare? And here I am, dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." Treat me like one of your hired hands." So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound." Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours comes back, who have devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. morning, my brothers and sisters. Glad to see you. Glad to be here. Let us pray. Gracious, loving Father, caring, loving Mother, I pray your divine providence will break through and make some sense of these words of my mouth, some sense of the meditations together of our hearts, and may they be acceptable in thy sight. May thy divine word break through and make some sense of these words. And to thee always be the honor, the praise, and the glory. In Christ's name, amen. You know, preachers always like to tell stories on preachers, long as it's not about that preacher. So here goes. Upon entering the pulpit one Sunday, a pastor found a neatly wrapped gift package with his name written on it. Upon opening it, he discovered a watch case and a note attached. The note said, "Dear Pastor, we are herewith presenting to you a watch case. And if you don't shorten your sermons, we're going to give you the works." I'm also reminded of a Henry Ward Beecher, a very famous preacher, renowned, who said one time, "I have given the deacons permission to wake the preacher up if the congregation goes to sleep." So, are the deacons here? Just a word at the risk of, I'm going to assume that I can be a bit presumptuous in having shared last night in an incredible event at Waterfire, honoring veterans and their families. For me, at least, it was empowering and absolutely inspirational. There were a number of people I had not seen in a long time. And at the end of the evening, as a buddy of mine, Wayne Smith, was leaving, I said, "Wayne, let's stay in touch." And he says, "Dick, I'll stay in touch because we need each other. We all need each other." The story of the prodigal is doubtless one of Jesus's best-known parables. It's a paradigm. It's, for me, a very cornerstone of my credo and theology, because it's rooted in God's scandalous grace and fatherly love. For me, this parable is an emblem. It's a biblical touchstone. It's a compass and a look into one of the elementary themes of the gospel. Each time when reflecting and preaching this parable, I'm reminded this is really retelling the gospel story. I've heard a lot of eloquent sermons artfully done, none of which, of course, were mine. Some of them explored and embellished the depravity of the prodigal. Others exulted in his repentance, triumphed in his return. Now I must confess, in spending some time with Table Talk the other night, in which we talked and shared our insights regarding this particular parable, and I tell you, I was all set. I was going to jump right in the face of that elder son. For his narcissistic jealousy. As my grandmother used to say, don't be an ingrate. But then I caught myself. Because if I was really honest, what I didn't like in the elder son, at times I don't like in myself. Judge not Dannenfelser, lest you be judged by what you are judging others. God graciously receives us. This is the message. Welcomes us home. Rejoices in our turning without any deserving on our part. And at times, for me, not even having any sense, the least of notion, how that is possible. It is not so much seeing is believing, but believing is seeing. God always welcomes us home. But I still wonder whatever happened to the elder son. Now, how does this parable speak to all of you and me and to Providence Presbyterian Church? Karl Barth, a renowned theologian, remarked one time, it's not so much how we read the Bible as it is how the Bible reads us. How do we see ourselves in the biblical truth there reflected? Is there any good news for us in all the bad news that is around us? How does the scandalous grace of the loving Father hit me? How does it hit you? How does it hit all of us, if not the whole world? What does it have to offer? What's the good news? What does it have to say to Trey and his family? Is there good news for Dan and his family as they have walked and continue to walk in the valley of the shadow? Is there any good news? What does it have to offer my brother George, who was told at a veterans hospital last week, if he does not stop drinking, he will be dead in 6 months. What does it have to say of all who are locked up, locked in by alcohol or substance abuse? Is there any good news? What does it have to say to people on the SNAP program who are getting cut, who are trying to live on $1.56 a day? What does it have to say to them? Is there any good news for our brothers and sisters? Our LGBT brothers and sisters who continue to face the alienation and sin of homophobia. What does it have, is there any good news? What does it have to say to the racism that demonizes our president and his family? Or the racial, the ethnic, the sexual bullying that goes on that is threatening to destroy the very fabric of this democracy and country? What does it have to say to the voracious greed that those with the most inflict on those with the least? You cannot pull yourself up by your own bootstraps if you don't have any boots. And even if you win the rat race, you're still a rat. Brother Dan, who reminded me, what about every minute, 30 children in this world are dying of starvation and inadequate health care? Jesus, you know, put first those whom society put last. The parable of the loving father, what does it have to say to veterans and their families as we welcome them home and say thank you for their sacrifice and their service? What does the parable have to say to all the victims of war and violence? The Vietnam War alone, there were 3 million people. Basically, it was a form of genocide. Or the 58,000 U.S. casualties. What does the gospel, what does the loving father have to say to the 125,000 Vietnam veterans who have committed suicide later in life? What does it have to say to the 20 military people coming back from combat and war, 20 people every week who commit suicide? What do we have to say? What do we have to say to the people at Tap Rap, Table Talk, who, as we talk together, exactly the same fears that we all are struggling with? How do we deal with our loneliness? How do we deal with our fear of abandonment and a fear of death of a loved one? And Providence Presbyterian Church, what does the parable of the loving father have to say that will engage and inspire your ministry especially how does the diversity, the wonderful diversity that is here, how does that get reflected in the leadership? How do we live the Easter faith in a Good Friday world? How do we live the resurrection hope in the face of evil and greed? If we don't share our love, we are destined to live in despair. The parable of the loving Father, the good news, is that love always rules. Not anything or anyone will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing will be able to separate us from God's grace and love because it's unconditional. And unconditional love, unconditional grace, does not seek value. It creates value. We don't have to prove ourselves, folks. All we have to do is express ourselves in love to each other. What an incredible world of difference there is when we don't have to prove ourselves. We don't have to continue to go on securing ourselves with our insecurities. We don't have to prove ourselves. We just have to express ourselves. Faith is being grasped by God's spirit of fatherly and motherly love. As our Native American Apache chief once said, pray, pray, then move your feet. If you want to keep the faith, you do the charity. Biblical witness is not about the love of force. It's about the force of love. Growing up in the Bronx, I learned a couple things that's really helped me survive. And this is what it was, what it is. You stick up for yourself. You stick together. And you stick up for each other. The worst thing that you could be called in the Bronx is a flat lever. Now, a flat lever is someone who leaves a friend or his family flat. Semperify. Always be faithful. God is always faithful. And God's fatherly love will never leave you flat. And my brother Wayne, we all need each other. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank thee for your scandalous, marvelous, fatherly and motherly love. May we never leave each other or anybody else flat. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Please stand and read responsively with me a simple prayer by St. Francis. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace where there is hatred.
Let me show love.
Where there is injury.
Pardon.
Where there is doubt.
Faith.
Where there is despair.
Hope.
Where there is darkness. Where there is sadness,
joy.
O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled
as to console,
to be understood
as to understand,
to be loved
as to love.
For it is in giving
that we receive,
it is in pardoning
that we are born,
it is in dying
that we are born to eternal life.
Please be seated.
We want to take a moment to offer a prayer and a word of thanks to those in our midst who are veterans. And so I would ask if you are a veteran of any of the war, any war, please stand in this time if you are able. And if you are a family that has supported veterans and your family, in any capacity, please stand and join these veterans. Let us pray. Gracious God, pour forth your spirit of healing and hope, of fidelity and courage on all your people as we seek to say thank you, as we seek to honor sacrifices that have been made even to the death, as we seek to live in a world and create a world in which war is no longer fought. We ask your prayers, your strength, your passion, your wisdom. Amen. Thank you.
Now is the time in our service when we bring forth our gifts of tithes and offerings. us pray. Almighty God, we dedicate these tithes and offerings to you in a spirit of great joy and thanksgiving for all your many blessings and for your merciful forgiveness. Please bless and multiply these gifts and use them to effect loving change throughout our community and to send forth from our midst the good news of Christ Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.